good afternoon, everyone. Today is February 4th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, to continue our series on the Parshat HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. This week we read Parshat Yitro, and we are going to try to understand today what was Yitro's purpose in coming back to Moshe. So please turn to page 151 in the Tanakh, the beginning of Parshat Yitro. 151. Go ahead, take it. And then we are going to, then we'll go to the sheet, but first we're going to look at 151. So if you look on page 100, if you look on page 151, we're going to start with verse 1 from the beginning of the portion of Yitro in chapter 18. We read the story. At first blush, well, let's read just the first few psukim. Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Chotein Moshe Eit Kol Asher Asa Elohim LeMoshe LeYisrael Amo Ki Yotzi Hashem Et Yisro Mimitzrayim. Yitro, who was Moshe's father-in-law, heard all of the things that God had done for Moshe and for the people. Vayikach Yitro Chotein Moshe Et Tzipora Eshet Moshe Achar Shilucheha. Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, took Tzipora, Moses' wife, after she had been sent home, and her two sons, of whom one was named Gershom, that is to say, had been a stranger in a foreign land, and the other was named Eliezer, meaning the God of my father was my help. Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, brought Moses' son and his wife to him in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. He sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law Yitro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons, as Moses went out to greet him. So if you read this story, it seems unremarkable in that for some reason Moshe and his wife and his children were separated. We're going to discuss that in a moment. And now they're being brought back together by Yitro. Yitro is the father-in-law, Moshe Tzipora's father, and he decides he wants to reunite the family. So when I say unremarkable, it seems that this is a story pieces of information that the Bible gives us about the life of Moshe, right? Throughout the book of Genesis and other parts of the Torah, we get snippets about the life of Moshe, right? We have the birth of Moshe, which we read about in chapter 2. Then we read about right after Moshe is born, he has to be put in a basket and sail down the river. He separates from his parents and he's brought up in the house of Paro. Then we learn about his marriage to Tzipora in Midian, and we learn about the birth of his first son, Gershom. In the fourth chapter of Genesis, we learn about the Brit Milah of his second son, Eliezer, whose name we hear about now. In the sixth chapter, we hear about Moshe's yichus, his lineage, that he comes from Shevet Levi. And even later in the book of Bamidbar, we learn about the wife, the Isha HaKushit Asher Lakach, the other wife, same wife, whatever it is, that Moshe took. So throughout the Torah, we get snippets of information about Moshe's life. There's no one place where the Torah says, these are the details of Moshe's life, right? He was born here, he died here, he lived here, he went to school here. We don't hear any of that. We have snippets all through the Torah, and this seems like it's another one of the snippets. What do we learn here? Well, we learn now that he has two sons. We learn the name of his second son, which we hadn't known until now. And we also learn that he and his family had been separated from each other. And we know that Yitro is a little bit of a meddling father-in-law. Right, that he decides now's the time to reunite the family, and so he, on his own initiative, brings Tzipora and Moshe's two sons back to him. So on one level, and that's important in and of itself, right? On one level, that's what we're learning here, which will also explain to us why Yitro is returning. Right, Yitro is returning in order to reunite Moshe with his wife and his children. So let's just hold on to that thought for one moment, and I want to ask you another question, which is, here it sounds like that Moshe is separated from Zipporah and his two their two children. Moshe is in one place, presumably where?
Midian.
Well, now he's in Midian. Where was he? He was in Egypt, getting the Jews out, and then he makes their way into the desert. And then when they get into the desert, Yitro, from another part of the area, brings Zipporah and the two sons. However, we have a problem, because if you look back in chapter 4 of the book of Shemot, chapter 4, verse 20, which you could find on page 119. What does it say? Go ahead, Shul, you can read it.
ויקח משה את אשתו ואת בניו וקיבם על החמו וישב ארץ המצרים.
וישב ארץ המצרים. Right, in chapter 4, verse 20, when Moshe is going back to save the Jewish people, it says he took his wife and his sons, put them in the, you know, in the station wagon of the day, whatever, right? He put them on the donkey and went back to Mitzrayim. But in our parak, in our chapter, in 18, it sounds like they were not together. So which is it? But so she didn't leave Egypt with the Jews?
No.
Why? Why would that? I mean, and here's a, why would Zipporah not leave with everyone? I mean, that seems like a.
Maybe she had a newborn.
There's no indication of that.
She was loyal to her family.
Her family is Canaan, not Egyptian.
Oh.
Why is she staying in Egypt? She wasn't an Egyptian woman. She was a Canaanite woman.
Maybe he was already sent her back to Canaan.
Ah, excellent. You nailed it. Rashi says that Moshe had in mind to take his wife and kids with him to Egypt. Right? And then Aaron, the other verses in chapter, the same chapter, chapter 4, verse 27, it says, "Vayomer Hashem al Aaron, lech lekrat Moshe hamidbara vayelech veifkeshehu bahar Elohim vayishaklo." Aaron goes to meet them. So Rashi, quoting a midrash, says, "Here's what happened: Moshe had every intention of bringing Zipporah and his two children back with him to Egypt. Aaron meets him on the way and says, "What are you crazy? The whole point of you coming here is for us to get out of here. Why are you bringing more Jews into Egypt? Send them back to Midian, and when this whole thing is over, you could reunite." So we have to understand the psukim. Yeah, Moshe did put them on the donkey, and did intend to bring them to Egypt. But somewhere in the middle, that plan changed, and they never made it to Egypt. Which actually makes sense, because if you read the verse in chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "Vayikach Moshe et ishto." Moshe took his wife and his children, and he put them on a camel. Vayashav Eretz Mitzrayim.
He went back
to Mitzrayim. It doesn't say they went back. So something in the middle happened, right? Instead of the plural, that it would have been they went back, right? They went back. It's he went back. Moshe went back to Mitzrayim alone. He took them with him, and in midway, they turned back and went back because Moshe realized, and there are other commentaries explaining what happened. Moshe realized this is a terrible idea. Like I said, we're trying to get out of Egypt. What's the use of bringing my wife and two kids? We're going to get out. I'll meet them when it's all done. So that's sort of a parenthetical point, why they were separated. Yes? What chapter? Chapter Yudchet, yeah. Exactly. Right. Correct. Number 2, verse 2. After he had sent them back. Correct.
That means that he sent her somewhere.
Right. Exactly. Very good. Well done. Okay. So, at first blush, it seems, like I said, this is just...
You know, Rabbi, the reason he really did not want to bring him back to Egypt is he was more afraid that if Pharaoh had decided He's to kill them. He didn't. He wanted
okay.
them to be.
Could be. He got good. That's a good point. Okay, so Yitro brings Moshe's family back to him. It seems like all we have here is a very nice story of family, a family reunion after, you know, the husband is a traveling salesman. He's finally back and he gets a chance to meet, to spend some time with his family. However, there are midrashim that indicate something else, because you have to look back at the, now we're back on page 151, chapter 18. If this is just a family reunion, then chapter 18, verse 1, seems a little unnecessary. Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Chotein Moshe et kol asher asa Elokim l'Moshe l'Yisrael imov ki yotzi Hashem et Yisrael mimitraim. What does that first that verse seem to indicate?
He wants to be part of the action.
That he heard, that the reason he came back
is
because he heard about what happened. No, parenthetically, he happened to have Tzipora and the two kids with him, but the real reason he went back was because he heard about all the happenings in Egypt and the Red Sea, and he wanted to join
the
Jewish people, right? There are midrashim that say, it says, Vayishma Yitro, what did Yitro heard all of these wonderful things, and he wanted to go back. He wanted to go back and be with the Jewish people. Happens to be that his son-in-law is the head of the Jewish people, and his daughter is the wife, and he has the two grandchildren with him, so he's not going to go there alone. Once I'm going, I'll schlep them along with me. But now we have these two sort of competing narratives as to what's the real reason Yitro went back. On the one hand, we have a verse that seems to indicate that certainly what motivated his return was hearing all of the events that happened in Egypt and Sinai. On the other hand, we have all the other verses that and I'll show you this in a moment on the sheet. That seems to, this is a family affair, right? Let's look at the sheet for a second, and we could see how we would understand it's a family affair. Just 1 second. Look how I've broken down the verses, the first six verses. Before we do that, it's important to understand that in this section from, let's say, verse 1 through 12, I think we could break up in half, which I do on the sheet, right? You see, I have verses 1 through 6 on the top and 7 through 12 on the bottom. Everyone see that on the sheet?
Yeah.
The reason that is because the first six verses are Yitro's preparation to go and his discussion about going. And 7 through 12 is the meeting between Moshe and Yitro. Right? 1 through 6 is Yitro doing what he wants to do. And 7 is once he's already gotten there. 7 through 12 is once he's already gotten there. But if you look at the beginning of this story, the first six psukim, we see a lot of family language. Look, now Yitro, the priest of Moshe, Moses' father-in-law. And Yitro, Moses' father-in-law. And Yitro, Moses' father-in-law. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law. And look in the third column. He heard all, he took Tzipporah, Moshe's wife, and her two sons. And he gives us the name of the sons. And in verse 5 in the right-hand column, he came with his sons and his wife unto Moses. And in verse 6 in the right-hand column, and thy wife and her sons. Those are all words that are supposed to clue us in into what the main theme is here. And it seems that the main theme is family.
Is there a reason they say her sons and not their sons?
Well, he's with Tzipora, so that's why. Could be. So we have these, on the one hand, we have a verse that seems to tell us that Yitro came back because of what happened. On the other hand, we have all of these hints within the text that this is a family story. So then the question, of course,
is part of the family already. So what's...
So why is he coming back? Is he coming back to reunite himself with the family? Or is he coming back because he has this religious epiphany and he wants to be part of the Jewish people?
Not necessarily. It's now safe for the family to get together. So
he could have said, I'm going back, but on the same token, if I'm already going, I'll take her and the kids.
Or any
no, it's not correct. Oh, well, there has to be a motivation for him to go back. He went back.
Isn't it enough?
The question is why?
To bring his daughter to her husband.
Right. That's perfectly legitimate. So... That's my question, though. Was that the motivation? And if it is, that's perfectly legitimate. I'm not saying it's not. Or was the motivation what seems to be in the first verse, which was he heard everything? Why did, meaning, if he was just going back to reunite the family, we wouldn't need verse 1 in chapter 18. It could have said, Vayavo Yitro.
Well,
Yitro came.
Was a good time to
could have been a little bit of both.
After. It could have been. Let's see. Okay, could be, yeah.
But the intention. I always read it as that it was, I'm your father-in-law and I'm going to run this show. I'm going to tell you what to do.
Well, that happens a little later. He does give some advice.
He came back because he heard what's going on, but I'm going to come tell him how to run this thing.
So you have a third motivation.
Yeah, that I'm your father-in-law.
He wants to be in charge.
I'm in charge. You're supposed to be
okay, that motivation doesn't come into my calculus, but okay. You're a father-in-law and I'm not. So you know that. Yes.
You will be someday.
Right.
Was there any proof that was Yitro was not from Ha'ivriim?
Correct. He was a Kohen Midyan.
As a lawyer.
Lo Yahivri, Lo Yehudi, no. He was.
So you assume that how about Tzipor?
Tzipor also not. Right,
why? She was. They are not. So correct. Obviously, I think they want to put it here more. Let's slap him a little bit to make him Jewish or make somebody.
Well, this is
Tzipor.
Himself. But no one's bringing him. He's bringing
no,
himself.
No, no, the content
he's
of
bringing
the book
it.
Here. Okay.
So you
Tzipor.
Think there's a religion. Okay, so
there
now we have a machloket. We have a machloket
achronim.
Right? We have a machloket here that maybe it's a family thing, which is perfectly legitimate.
Yeah.
Perfectly legitimate. Or maybe it's a religious motivation. Okay. That also comes into it. We're not going to be able to get to that. Okay, so Rabbi Samet here does a beautiful job by dividing the verses the way that I show you on the sheet, coming up with really an amazing theory. Okay, so let's look at the sheet. First of all, as I noted in the first six psukim, Tzipora is mentioned numerous times, and the children are mentioned numerous times. In the last six psukim, they are not mentioned at all.
Who is mentioned at the last ones?
It's just
Moshe.
Moshe. And in the first six psukim, every single time Yitro is mentioned, it says the father-in-law of Moshe. And in the last psukim, there's a few times where Yitro's name is mentioned where the Torah does not say that he is Moshe's father-in-law. Verses 9 and 10, as you can see on the chart. So again, we're seeing...
But it says that you have in the last six, three times that it mentioned.
Correct. That's true. But there are two that are missing, and we'll see why that's significant. Okay? We'll see why that is significant. You're right. It's not totally absent, but we'll see what it's
next week, same
time. So I have a question for you. Okay, so that's important to note, that in part one, Tzipora and the children are mentioned, and in part two, from seven onward, Tzipora and the children are not mentioned.
But Yitro is mentioned as Choten. In Pasuk 10,
yeah, we don't dispute.
Correct, but not in 9 or 10. You have to look at the sheet. You have to look at the sheet, right? Not in 9 or 10. That's what I think is significant. And now, let's look at this. This is really a fascinating. There's also similarity in words, which may be easier to see in Hebrew, but we'll see if we can say it in English. Look at verse 2. It says, Vayikach Yitro Chotein Moshe et Tzipora. Yitro, Moshe's father, took Tzipora. The key word there is took. Look in verse 12. Also, Vayikach Yitro Chotein Moshe. But what's he taking this time? This time he's bringing karbanot. Look at verse 6, which is part 1 of our... Vayomer al Moshe, anicha chotencha Yitro ba'elecha v'ishticha u'shnei vanayma. I am your father-in-law and I'm bringing your wife and two children. Look at verse 10. Vayomer Yitro, Baruch Hashem asher etzil etchem miyad Mitzrayim miyad Paro. So in the first Vayikach, it's about the family. And in the second Vayikach, it's a religious expression.
The spiritual.
In the first Vayomer, right, there's something going on here. In the first Vayomer El Moshe, it's about the family. In the second Vayomer, it's a religious expression. One more example. Look at verse 5. Vayavo Yitro Choted Moshe, with who? With Tzipporah and the children. And look at verse 12. Vayavo. Yeah, but the Vayavo there is Vayavo Aharon, that's supposed to catch our attention, and there's a religious expression. So we see that not only in the first half is there a lot of focus on the children and the wife, and in the second half there's no focus on the children and the wife. In the first half, there's no religious focus, and in the second half, there's religious focus. And those the fact that the Torah uses the same words, Vayikach in part one and Vayikach in part two, Vayomer in part one and Vayomer in part two, and Vayavo in part one and Vayavo in part two, is supposed to catch our attention, not because those words are similar, but everything that comes after it is dissimilar. In the first time, each of those words is a family event, and the second time, each of those words is a religious event. So what is going on here? One more question. Why, according to our discussion, did Yitro come to... Well, let me ask you this. All of a sudden, in verse 9, right, Yitro rejoices and praises God for everything that has happened.
What is Vayichad?
Vayichad Yitro, and Yitro rejoiced.
Vayichad rejoiced?
Yeah. Vayichad Yitro al kol hatova asher asa Hashem liYisrael asher hitzidon yam Mitzrayim. So I have a question. Look at verse 1. Exactly. He already knew that. Why, all of a sudden, does Yitro praise God in verse 9, while already back in verse 1, he knew what God did?
I don't think it means that he rejoiced. He was together. Vayichad being yachad together.
Perhaps he's just sensitive that he knows that he's not Jew and he wanted to... to show them that
okay.
He's thankful for being together.
It's about sensitivity. He wants to be included.
Okay. But you see, there's something happening, right? In the beginning, Yitro knew, and it doesn't inspire in him any type of religious sentiment. And all of a sudden, in verse 8, Moshe tells him again, and then we hear that in verse 9, he rejoices.
But how do you know that? Maybe when he heard the first, verse 1, he heard about it and said, you know, I want to be part of this, but if I'm already going, I'm going to take the wife and the kids.
Right, all
and
I'm saying is...
And in the second one...
All I'm saying is that doesn't tell us in the first one that he rejoiced.
Well, the fact that he says Vayishma means...
And it sounds like, it feels like it's like this is new information. Well, it's not new information. He had the information.
I don't think he rejoiced.
But once he got there, it was a fact. He saw it for himself.
Okay. But that's not what it says. It says Moshe told him. It doesn't say he saw the Jews. It doesn't say that would be a beautiful interpretation had you been writing the Torah. Because then maybe you would have said, and Yitro saw all the Jewish people, they were all alive, and he rejoiced. That's perfect. But the Torah doesn't say that. What it says is Moshe told him, and then he rejoiced. Okay, that's a very plausible explanation. I want to suggest...
He got the details from Moses.
So that's a good point.
The first part, maybe he just
said he got the
general
details.
But there's also something else. There's something different going on. Look, see if you could derive the difference between what Yitro hears in verse 1 and what Moshe tells Yitro in verse 8.
Done to Pharaoh.
Good, you're both right. In verse 1, what's Yitro's focus? Moshe. Moshe. He heard all that God had done for Moshe. Why would he single out Moshe? Moshe.
He was the leader.
Yeah, but he was
a son-in-law.
He was led out. He was a son-in-law. Because part one, Yitro is still focused on his family. Right? So when Vayishma Yitro, look what he did for my son-in-law and the Jewish people. But then what happens? He comes, and what does Moshe tell him? Moshe says, this is what God done to Paro and to Egypt for Israel's sake, all the travail that had come upon them by the way. Moshe says, this is not me. Right? This event happened to Paro and the Egyptians, and this event happened to all of Israel. And then there's an immediate switch. Look, what's missing now in verse 9 and 10? Look at the sheet.
There's no father-in-law.
His father is not mentioned because now it's not a function. Yitro is not there anymore as a function of the father-in-law. He's there because he recognizes that something amazing has happened. Right? So in number 7, Moshe went out to meet his father-in-law. And Moshe told his father-in-law because it's still very much a family focus. But once Moshe tells him that this is a big event that nationally affected Egypt and nationally affected the Jewish people, the Torah, by not including the phrase, his father-in-law, in both verses, may be signaling to us that Yitro went through a change. That now Yitro realized this is not about Tzipporah and the two kids and about Moshe. This is a much bigger thing. Exactly. So it seems like we have here sort of a movement on Yitro's part. He came originally starting because he wanted to reconnect and reunite the family. But as he, maybe as you said, he sees things maybe. And hears things from Moshe, his approach and his outlook changes, and he now he realizes, not only do I want to reunite my family, I also want to be part of this thing because I realize this is much bigger than Moshe and my family. This is a major historical event, as Moshe explained to me, and I want to be part of it. And these are all these hints, this is sort of alluded to through all of these hints. And that's why he says in verse 11, now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. Again, you can ask the same question. Didn't he know that in verse 1?
Exactly.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't focused on that in verse 1. In verse 1, he was focused on reuniting his family.
Or maybe if he just wanted innocently to take his wife, his daughter and children to the father. And as far as his plan, maybe he was thinking of going back.
But something changed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, also in the first...
Once.
Right, exactly. That's why those midrashim that talk about him converting are also true. But they're true later. They happened a little bit towards the end of this narrative.
Also, at the beginning, when he heard of what happened, he might have said, well, you know, it's now safe for me to bring Zipporah and the kids just to my...
Now, look at verse 12. 12 seems to is a problem. Because if we're suggesting that from verse 9 onwards, Yitro is seeing this more from the big perspective and not only from the perspective of his family, why in verse 12 does it say on Yitro, Moses' father-in-law?
In case you forgot who he was.
From two points of view, as a father-in-law and as an individual.
Prove it from the text. You can prove it from the text. Why? Because what does Yitro, Moshe's father-in-law, do?
He brings a carbine.
Right? It's amazing. It's unbelievable. In every single time beforehand that the father-in-law is mentioned, it's only family. When the father-in-law is not mentioned, it's a religious expression. Now, all the pieces come together. The father-in-law is mentioned, and a religious expression is mentioned. So Yitro merges these two feelings, right? There's nothing wrong with him starting off coming as a family, but we see that he went through his own process, and when he realized that this was not just the focus on the family, when there was more going on, he changed. And again, the Torah, by using words and leaving out words, leads us in this direction. At least this is the way Rabbi Samet, again, Rabbi Samet is trying to make sense of two competing narratives and two competing approaches within the commentaries. Did Yitro come to reunite the family, or did Yitro come because of religious expression? And Rabbi Samet is suggesting that he his original motivation seems to have been to reunite the family, because that's what his focus is on. But as things progress, there's a development. What Rabbi Samet uses, he uses the word ta'aliyah. Min ha-machatzit ha-rishona el ha-machatzit ha-shniya. Right? Yitro goes through a period where his perspective is, let's say, broadened. And he experiences a religious event at this point, which comes after his desire to reunite his family.
Can we take chapter 12 as a sign that Yitro converted?
So some people say that... I think some people say that he converted. I'm not sure what that means back then.
I mean, exactly. But if he brought sacrifice, he brought karbanot, isn't that a Jewish thing? Or did
it's also a paganism.
They were also bringing karbanot then.
Rabbi,
yes.
When it comes to, if we can back up a little bit.
Sure.
It sounds to me as if Moshe and his wife were, in our modern day terms, were legally separated. Maybe they weren't getting along.
No, I don't think so. I don't want. I use the word separated only to mean they were physically not with each other.
And is that what it means? Or yeah. Could they, in our time, they were legally separated?
I don't think so.
The husband twirled in a different state.
Like we said, the husband was going to Egypt and he realized it wasn't. It's like when you go to work in an oil rig, you don't bring your wife and kids with you. Yeah. Okay, everyone. Have a wonderful day.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.